Obeying God's Will is the title of today's sermon, Acts chapter 21, the first 20 verses we are considering. A.J. Gordon, in a write-up entitled God's Way is Best, recounted how Adoniram Jackson, he was a missionary to the Burmese people more than a century back, how he was clearly appointed by the Holy Ghost to the ministry among the heathen. And he reached the city of Calcutta in the summer of 1812, full of ardor for preaching the gospel, only to receive the orders from the British government to leave the country at once and to return to America. With sad hearts, the little missionary company retreated to the Isles of France. They were wondering why or what had seemed to be a wide and effectual open door to the Indian people that was open to them should now be violently shut. But with unconquerable determination, they return again to India, reaching Madras a year later in June. Once more, A.J. Gordon reported their purpose was thwarted. Once more, they were ordered to leave the country and they were compelled to quit the land. With heavy hearts, they fled to Rangoon, to a place which Jackson had declared. With heavy hearts, they fled. And he regarded how that must be the missionary field that God had for them. But he was permitted to stay. And in this place, Rangoon, in Burma, there was the beginning of ministry for them. But it was also the beginning of hardship. They would suffer greatly because it was a heathen nation, mainly pagan. And there were much resistance to the gospel. And they were willing at that time, against, as it were, their own will, to stay and to begin work in the city of Rangoon. The church in Boston, the Park Street Church, which called them, well, at that time, they had a congregation of 1,000 members. But the church in Burma, at the close of the ministry of this man, numbered 30,000 communicants. You see, oftentimes we think we know better what to do. But you see that God knows even better. And as He guides and directs His people, well, He shows them the better way. He shows to them His will for their lives. The Apostle Paul also received clear guidance as we study this, the life of this man. He obeyed the Macedonian call. You remember a few chapters back in Acts chapter 18. He wanted to go north to Bithynia, and God constrained him to go west to Macedonia. And he sought to honor the will of God. And in his life, you see how he was a man who constantly teaches how God's will must be sought and honored. And the Macedonian call provided an insight into Paul's life, how he has a concern to discern the will of God and to obey it, and how it became an important part of the decision-making of his life. So at the end of his life, he said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, he says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." To do the will of God, according to the will of God, may not be something that you think you would go into easily. Peter, the apostle, gave this word. He says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Sometimes, doing the will of God can mean suffering. But, you see, for the men who live his life, to choose to suffer, it's not a natural reaction. In a sense that if you can avoid suffering, why not? But to do God's will and to choose God's will, even if it means suffering, is a very different thing. And in the life of the people of God, oftentimes, God would lead us through that journey of faith where we go through certain circumstances, certain situations in our life which we don't like. But it is in the will of God. It could be a sickness. You ask the Lord, why? How the body becomes weakened and the functions of the body is impaired. Is this the will of God? Well, God has allowed it. And oftentimes the people of God wrestle to these circumstances in their lives. In our Lord Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem, he said to his apostles, "I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. But the third day, I will rise again. And I want you to know, so that you will be spiritually strengthened, fortified, prepared to endure what is to come." In Matthew chapter 16, it is described how Jesus showed to his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests, of the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And our text tells us that Peter took him aside, and Peter started to rebuke the Lord. He said, how can you say that? You are our Lord. How could you, as the Lord of the whole universe, be subject to this? What did our Lord say? The Lord said to Peter, be it far from thee, or no, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. And then Jesus gave these words to Peter. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What was Peter's response later on? Well, he said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee. I will follow you all the way to the end. I will lay down my life for thy sake. This is what Peter said. John 13, 37, 38. And what was Jesus' response? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock will not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You see, doing the will of God in the life of the people of God, you would find it's a journey of faith and a journey of courage. These are the two thoughts that we want to consider from verse 1 to 14 and from verse 13 to 20. Note the overlap. A journey of faith. It came to pass, verse 1 says, that after we were gotten from them and had launched and come straight to Kos, and the day after to Rhodes, and after that to Patara. So what we left off last week, that last meeting with the Ephesian elders, he said goodbye to them and he was ready for the journey. And it's very interesting that the verb gotten is a very interesting word that describes to be dragged away, to be pulled away. And it's passive, being dragged away. Oftentimes in life, we think that we would like to do this and this, but God has another plan. And so for the Apostle Paul, the Lord had laid upon him in his heart that he is to go to Jerusalem. And he knew it in his heart. But to do so would mean that he would have to leave the people, the brethren who were with him for the last 3 years in which he was with them in the church in Ephesus. What was the Lord doing? Well, if you were to turn to Acts 20, verse 22, it is said here, when he spoke to the Ephesian elders, how he says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He says that the Spirit of God had instructed, in a sense, and caused me to be bound on this journey. And the word there is very interesting. It speaks of an action that begins and a result that persisted. And is in the passive. The Spirit of God constrained. So we do. This is the life of the Christian. This is the life of Jesus while he was on earth. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Humanly speaking, who would want to choose suffering? He had to go to the cross. He had to be whipped. You know, the whipping is no mean punishment. The entire flesh on his back were torn off, exposing even the bones. That's how his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And Paul was told while he was there that he was bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. And he says, I do not know what will happen to me. But twice in this chapter, in the text that we have read, you would see that there would be two groups of people who would come to him to inform him that there would be suffering ahead. It's going to be a difficult journey. Are you willing to do the will of God, even if it's a difficult journey? Well, the prophet Jonah tried to run away. He didn't want to preach to the people in Nineveh because they were very cruel people. You don't want them saved. You hate them to the core. And so he ran away. But the Lord constrained him by a whale, constrained him to the call of his heart, that this is the will of God. And what did he do? Well, this reluctant prophet went to the city and there was the greatest revival. All he did was to declare that the people would repent of their sins and before judgment would come. And the entire city repented. Christ had to go to the cross because it is in the will of God that we be saved, that we be taken out of the clutches of hell and be taken to the bliss of heaven. And the Lord has a purpose and the Lord has a will for the life of His people. He is bringing us on that journey to heaven and eternity in heaven is very short compared with the temporal life that we would live here on earth. And what would God want you to do? He will reveal it to you. But for the Apostle Paul, it was to go to Jerusalem. And as you think, right, why would God want him to go to Jerusalem? He had a thriving ministry in Asia Minor, now in Europe. The gospel is spreading like wildfire. Why not continue? Why go to Jerusalem? Well, as you read our text, you would see that God is fulfilling His purpose. Right, if you look at verse 20 of our text, so we just jump all the way to the end. Right. Verse 20 says, and when they heard the testimony of Paul concerning the salvation of Gentiles, they glorified the Lord. The name of God was honored. It was in the will of God. And also, you see, that whenever God would want His people to do His will, there you would see how His saints would glorify Him when they do His will. And you must be wondering, why is it that He goes there? And a description is given that He was there with a team of people, including who? Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke. And how they would go all the way to Jerusalem, and they would be there to speak to the leaders in Jerusalem. And they would speak, they would arrive at this place called Caesarea, and then there would be an old disciple, someone who probably would have met the Lord, would have seen the ministry of the Lord. And with James, the brother of Jesus, how Luke would spend, or Paul would spend 2 years there, and Luke would have the time to go and to find out what went on. And that's how the Gospel of Luke was written. God works a higher purpose which men finite cannot know and understand. But the men of God, the people of God, would know the will of God for their lives when they would seek to know it. And if they were to know it, then you see that God would want us to obey it, follow it, and enjoy His presence, guiding, showing us the way. And that's why in verse 14, they said to Paul, "The will of the Lord be done." It is a journey of faith. Paul had to go all the way from Ephesus in Europe. You see his travel journey, about 600 over kilometers, where he would have to take a boat from the two islands. The island of Kos is an interesting island. It is as long as Singapore, about 45 kilometers, but only 1.5 kilometer wide. There they would stop for one night, and there they would be led to another island, a bigger island, Rhodes. And there they would commune, meet some more Christians, and then they would go to Patara, this port city. And there they would be able to find a boat that would bring them all the way to Tyre. And then from Tyre, they go to Caesarea. And that's where they would arrive. And that's where Paul would make that journey to Jerusalem. So you notice that the life of the believer, when you have understood the will of God for you, what will you do? Well, you need to simply trust the Lord, have faith to follow. So this was what they did. The people of God, they, through the Apostle Paul, they came to back to Palestine, and Paul would go to Jerusalem. And it's interesting that on that journey back, he would meet with those who would say to him that there would be trouble coming. Verse 10 of our text says that there was a prophet by the name of Agabus who came, and he took Paul by the girdle. The girdle is the belt that locks the long garment, and tells him that you would be bound hand and feet in Jerusalem. Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentile. Now you see here, very interesting, when Agabus came to speak to him, Agabus did not say to Paul, don't go. But Agabus said, right, that something would happen. You are going to suffer. So Paul was warned in a sense, and God prepared his heart. You remember when he went to Corinth? It was the same thing. He was thrown into prison. What to do? You're suffering pain, you know. So for the believer, you would see that if you're in the will of God, that's the best place. It can be the most dangerous place on earth. Jesus was there to assure the Apostle Paul that I will be with you. I have many men in this city. He was doing the will of God. And that is what we must do also, to know what God has for us to do. Do you ask the Lord daily to guide you what you ought to do day by day? As we seek the Lord daily in our quiet time, as we seek the Lord in the reading of His Word, in the meditation of His Word, you will find the Lord speaking to us, showing us the way. And as we have said in one of our sermons, at times the Lord lead us, guide us through the counsel of mature men in the faith to help us to see what we may not be able to see to be the will of God. And God also guide us through circumstances, like the man Adoniram Jackson. The door was shut. No way he could stay in India. Twice he went there. He went to Calcutta. We saw he went to Madras. Both ways, both times, the Lord shut the door. But the Lord opened the door at Rangoon, because it was the will of God. In And if you know, then you would be willing to follow the law. So the task is this: to know what is the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? God reveals us to us through His Word. As we take time to study, take time to pray, take time to meditate, God shows us His purpose, and God guides us, and we know the way. But you see that there would be many adversaries. But the Lord will be with you to help you. And if you are willing to walk, to follow the Lord, you'll find that you would enjoy the presence and power of God leading and guiding you, albeit through ordinary circumstances in your life. You begin work in the office. This day, morning is this meeting, after that is that, and then it's this. So you ask yourself, what has the Lord for me to do? Well, as we keep close to Him, seek the Lord through constant prayer, the Lord provides us His guidance. Show us what we need to do. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing to us this episode in the life of the Apostle Paul, how Thou would lead him to a journey to Jerusalem, and how it was fraught with danger, predictions of danger ahead. And how, Lord, You also gave him the faith and the courage to trust Thee. Despite and in spite of all the warnings that came, Lord, indeed we realize that You show us clearly what Thy will is. So, Lord, I pray that Thou be gracious to strengthen the hearts of Thy people as they look to Thee for Thy guidance, that You grant them that holy courage and faith to walk with You, come what may. For, Lord, we see and we learn that Thy will is best for our lives. So, Lord, I pray that Thou grant to Thy people the willingness to yield our will to Thine will, that we may not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge Thee. And indeed, Thou wilt show us the better way, the way of blessing, the way of life. Lord, I pray that Thou would bless Thy people as we wait upon Thee, seek Thee to know Thy purpose for our lives. Lord, may Thou be gracious to show it so clearly that we may walk therein. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.